So the debate and accusation that they're throwing at him comes from Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. And what that is a curse about the mamzer. A mamzer, mamzer in Hebrew is bastard. You're a bastard. So what they actually said to him was, you're a bastard child. You're a mamzer. Because in Deuteronomy, it says a mamzer, which is a bastard, may not enter the assembly of Hashem, nor may his descendants down to the 10th generation enter the assembly of Adonai. Because you can't be in the midst of Israel because you are unclean from a filth that can only be weeded out after 10 generations. Now, here's Jesus, who they think is what? A mamzer. And they're saying, Cat, you think you're a rabbi? Hold on. Who do you think you are? If you remember, the only reason why they didn't kick him out of the temple and out of the synagogues was because the following he had. And if they had tried to kick him out, then the people would have revolted on them and killed them. That's the only reason that he was allowed to do what he was doing. Think about this. See, I don't understand where the Pharisees are coming from, because they should have recognized them. But please understand that the theology of the day wasn't set in stone, so they didn't understand who they were looking at. But he's only flesh on Mary's side.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yep.
So his human blood is Levitical. Yeah. It's Levite. There's no Judah blood in him. Until... We're going by what the scripture teaches and the facts. We're not going by what people think and emotionalism right now. This is the facts of the case, and it cannot be contested. This is one of the biggest issues why people say Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Even today in Judaism, this is why. But why? In the beginning, we started off with what? Romans 8:15. For the Spirit makes us what? Adopted sons. Okay. Jesus had to experience everything on this earth. Every sin, every temptation, every hurt, every pain. Even the hurt and the pain of adoption. You don't think during his ministry, the pain of that adoption, do you think that he was tormented growing up? I mean, this is supposition. But everybody believed that Mary was slept out of wedlock and he was conceived out of wedlock. There were very few. Very few. In fact, his very first convert happens in Luke chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. And this is when the most significant contribution that Joseph gave to the messianic narrative was said. When Joseph presented Jesus for the first time, Joseph, by presenting him as the adopted father, fulfilled Davidic prophecy. Luke chapter 2, 22 to 23. When the time came for their purification according to the Torah of Moshe, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to Hashem, to Adonai. As it is written in the Torah of Adonai, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to Adonai, and also to sacrifice a pair of doves or two young pigeons, as required by the Torah of Adonai. So what's happening? It's the right of the firstborn, the Bekor it's called. Jesus has the right of the firstborn only if he had a father. If he did not have a father, then there was no rights. And Mary could not claim a son as someone to take care of her in the event there was an issue. Which is why he said to John on the cross, behold your mother. Because the son, upon the father's death, takes care of the mother. But if the mother doesn't have a husband, or in this case, there's no husband, there's no father, there's no anything. So when the son dies, if the son died before her, she's on her own. That's why he did it. There's no other reason. It's a very simple Jewish custom. Well, here's another very simple Jewish custom that happens. They were to come to Jesus on the to come to the Yerushalayim, as it is written, on the eighth day, to purify themselves, because she had just had a baby, so she was still bleeding. They all had to come and be purified through a mikvah, have their mikvah, make their offering, and then make a dedication. But they have to present him. They have to present him. So the father and the mother have to stand and say, yes, this is our son. See, the mother's presentation of the child is for his priesthood. Hence her being a Levite. So you get it? His mother gave him the mantle of the Levitical priesthood of Aaron. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because through that pure bloodline, he is a priest. That's why he was a rabbi. Because at that moment, they dedicated that boy to the priesthood. Now, from the father comes the wealth and the inheritance. Joseph stands up and he says, and I love this, why did Luke put this in verse 33? It says, Yeshua's father and mother were marveling. His father and his mother. Right? Because his father and mother were marveling at the things that Shimon was saying about him. If you remember Simon stood up and said, now I can die because I've seen the Messiah. That, my friends, was the third earthly convert, but the first public convert. Think about that. In Jesus' ministry, that was the first convert. Mama and Dad already knew, but they were private. And Luke puts it in there to say Yeshua's father and mother were marveling at the things Shimon was saying about him. Shimon blessed them and said to the child's mother, Miriam, this child will cause many in Israel to fall and to rise. He will become a sign whom people will speak against. Moreover, a sword will pierce your own heart too. All this will happen in order to reveal many people's inmost thoughts. Do you understand what he just laid out? What did he just call Jesus that the writer of Hebrews said? He is going to be the living word. Torah Chaim is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. The same author also says he has fulfilled the line of Melchizedek of the great priesthood. And then when Joseph calls him his son, he's now adopted into the bloodline of Judah. Now, who better to understand adoption than the Messiah? So when Paul writes that when they interpret it as being, we are adopted sons, well, Jesus was the first one. Adopted into the bloodline of David. Hence, the son of David. The son of David. The Lion of Judah. Because Joseph gave him the blood and the name. And in the Jewish culture, when you adopt somebody, you're adopting him in. End of story, exclamation point, the end. You can't get rid of him. He's in, he's in. You could disown your natural born son, but you can't disown an adopted child. So Jesus, he fulfilled Levi. What did he do? What did Jesus do? He did what? He was the catalyst to do what? What does it say? Hebrews, I gotta go back. He joined us. We've been joined together in one Messiah. We've been joined through God's love for his bride, and we will be presented at the wedding supper of the Lamb to the enemy. So this is the understanding of Jesus as the Son of God. I mean, the Son of David. So Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. We honor you. We lift you on high. And we ask for your great blessings. And as always, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom, peace. In the precious name of Jesus, the glorious Messiah, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Billy Elias. Pastor Billy is the founder and pastor of Elon Restoration Fellowship in Toms River, New Jersey. Join us again as Pastor Billy bridges the gap between the old and new covenants. And as always, may the Lord bless you with peace. You've been listening to Pastor Billy Elias. Pastor Billy is the founder and pastor of Elon Restoration Fellowship in Toms River, New Jersey. Join us again as Pastor Billy bridges the gap between the old and new covenants. And as always, may the Lord bless you with peace.